The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go. Yeah. For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, y'all. Come on. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
Good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am Coach Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. I tell you what, I am so pumped today, man. What a weekend. You know, if I had thought about it, I'd have asked D, my engineer, to get the death toll music because, man, I tell you, it's been a rough weekend in March Madness basketball. Has it not been crazy? I tell you what, I don't know very many people whose brackets are still intact, but that's the music I would play for my bracket. It's just done. I should have just shredded it this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm going to shred it tomorrow. I'm just watching it. I'm going to pick a whole new bracket. I'm going to pick the lowest seed to win everything. I think Florida Gulf Coast is going to win the whole thing. No, I can't say that, but, you know, hey, it's been crazy. I mean, you have a 15 seed and a 13 seed and a Sweet 16. Unbelievable. That's why Dickie V says, that's why they call it madness, baby. You know, I mean, it has just been nuts. And if you've been paying attention to these games, there's a lot of good basketball being played. There's some pretty poor officiating happening at the same time. I'm just going to throw that out there. As a coach, I'm looking at the refs. I'm going, what? I'd have been teed up. So it's been interesting watching the tournament. We're going to talk more about the March Madness NCAA basketball tournament, but I'm excited too because today we have a special guest who's going to join us. He's kind of going to be our March Madness guru for I'm hoping the rest of the tournament. We're going to be joined by Coach Jack Murphy from NAU. We're going to talk to him, welcome him to the show, and he's going to give us a state of Lumberjack Union, basically, talk to us about what happened this year and his first year taking over the Lumberjack program. They made it to the conference tournament, and I'm not going to steal this, I'm going to let him tell you all that. But we're going to welcome him to the show, talk to him about his program, and then we're going to talk about brackets. And, man, today's been the death toll for other coaches, too, as well. Yeah, for those of you who haven't heard, about 3 hours ago, Tubby Smith was let go at Minnesota. Last night, Ben Hallen at UCLA. And those of you who know me well and know that I'm a big UCLA guy. So I'm a little upset about that, but I understand it, but I'm still a little upset. And so I'm trying to figure out, well, who are they going to come up with next to go to UCLA? Well, I've got some opinions on that, and I've got something I'm doing to try and help influence that decision. So you're going to have to stay tuned to the show towards the last segment, and I'll kind of talk about UCLA and Minnesota. But first, I want to welcome to the show my friend Jack Murphy from NAU head basketball coach. Coach, welcome to the show.
Scott, thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Man, I'm really excited to have you on because I know you got some opinions about what's happening with March Madness, but we'll save that. First, I want you to give us a little bit about what happened this year at NAU. You guys, this is your first year taking over the helm at NAU, the Lumberjacks, you know, in your conference. And let's talk about your first year.
Yeah, you know, I thought we had a really successful first year. We had five seniors who gave everything that they could to not only myself and our staff, but to our school and really left on a high note. Our number one goal going into the season was to make the Big Sky Conference Tournament. We were initially picked last in the league, 11 out of 11 by the media and coaches, and ended up finishing seventh at 8-12. Now, obviously, it's the most losses I've ever had in one year, but I would deem it a success based on the fact we're building something here that's going to be special, and we built upon what they did last year, and I think we set the standard for moving forward. You know, we have a standard of excellence here at NAU that we're going to want to keep at a high level year in and year out.
Excuse me. Now, Coach, you guys had a great run towards the tournament. As a matter of fact, I got a chance to watch you guys play Weber State at home. That was an unbelievable game. You know, that the game that you guys played, I thought there was a couple key possessions that had some questionable calls that kind of hurt your momentum and taking away that win. But, you know, you guys went and finished strong and ended up in the conference tournament. And, you know, I think that's a great step in the right direction. And I know this year being your first year as a head coach, you know, talk to us about some of the things you learned this year.
Yeah, you know, obviously I learned how to control my temper on the sidelines. In that game that you're in particular, I wasn't as good about it. I picked up a late technical foul, which I would love to have back right now. But, I learned a lot about myself and about what we need to do to be successful moving forward, and how the focus always has to be first and foremost on the players and on preparation. I thought we were very prepared going into a number of our games. Out of 20 conference games, we were in 19 out of 20. Really only got blown out one time. That was our first conference road game at Eastern Washington. So, you know, just learning about the preparation that goes into every single game, understanding your team, and developing a way throughout the season where your team could change a little bit on you. You know, whether it's through injuries or just realizing certain guys are better in different roles. And that's something that I found out as we went through the season. And I thought we ended it very competitively. You know, that Weber State game you talk about was probably one of the highest and lowest point of the year, all in the same game. I mean, we played what I felt like was either the first or second best team in our league. Played very, very tough for 40 minutes, lost in overtime, and you're heartbroken after the game, but you're just so proud of the effort your guys give.
Right. Now, Coach, you guys, in your run, I mean, you guys had a decent run that you put together at the beginning, right about the beginning, middle of the year, where you guys were really in a lot of the games, and you saw a lot of, when you first took the job, you made a big splash here in the state by recruiting locally. And you got Dwayne Russell, who, by the way, I think the kid played great this season and did some really nice things for you. Now, how do you think recruiting locally is going to impact you guys and your standing in the conference over the next couple of years? Because that's really something I think that was big for you.
Well, I think that there's no question. When you're in the Big Sky, you want to recruit players that you feel like could play even higher levels, like a West Coast Conference type player. And I feel like we got one of those in Dwayne, and he had an outstanding year. We have to continue to recruit at a high level. I'm very excited about the class we're bringing in next year. We have two Valley kids in it, in Travis Meeker out of Red Mountain in Mesa, and Chris Miller out of Greenway High School. Both of them are very good athletes, great people, and hard workers, and they love the game of basketball. So we're trying to make our mark not only within the state of Arizona but nationally. We have a couple kids, one kid out of Memphis, Tennessee, one junior college player out of Florida who's a very good player, and so we're excited to you know, spread our wings and see how far we can recruit around the country and bring winning basketball here to NAU.
Now, you guys, you know, with Dr. Lisa Campos, the AD there, and you both, the NAU takeover, there's a fresh air about the program up at NAU, not just in men's basketball, but all across the board, it seems. Have you noticed a significant difference in attendance?
Well, this year we did, Scott. You know, we moved back into the Sky Dome. It was beautiful, as you know, being at the game. I mean, they did a great job as a school, really making it a great fan environment. And I just thought it was great. So basketball-wise, we did see a good spike in attendance that we have to keep going and keep getting better there. But across the board, our football program did amazing this year. They're 8-3 right there, competing for a Big Sky championship. Our track and field team year in, year out are amazing. They finished fourth cross country. So our volleyball team had, our women's volleyball team had the most wins in the program's history. It's a great time to be a Lumberjack. Our athletic department's on the rise. Dr. Campos is doing a fantastic job, and And as a basketball coach and as a basketball program, you just want to kind of grab a hold and go with the wave, because the wave is leading towards success.
There is a lot of energy up there. And for those of you who have not had the opportunity to get up there and watch an NAU game, you need to get up there, because I'm going to tell you, the energy around the program is a lot different now than it has been in years past. And so, you know, and I have to say, Coach, you brought a lot of energy in with you. Dr. Campos brought a lot of energy in with you. There's an excitement, and there's like an anticipation just waiting for it to go off, because we know that this is all going to pay off.
Well, I appreciate that, and we're going to keep working and making sure it does. It's not like we're just sitting idly by waiting for the success to hit us. You have to go out there and work for it and take it, and no one's going to give you anything, because there's a lot of great coaches in the Big Sky. There's a lot of good programs that have had success, and they're not just going to take a back seat to NAU because we have energy. They're going to take a back seat because we're going to show them what we're made of, and we're going to continue to get better. And I have to say, Scott, that I've just been so happy and blessed to be back in Arizona, and at the talent level, not only in terms of players, but of coaches in the state. Basketball, I think, is really on the upswing in the state of Arizona, and I'm fortunate to be in one of the three Division I head coaching positions in the state to take advantage of that.
Soon to be four, and let's talk about that, because we have
soon to be four, but I won't mention them until they actually do it.
Okay, but here's something that we only have a minute before we have to go to break. But I think, and having paid attention to all this stuff develop, I think the hiring of Dan Marley at Grand Canyon University was a direct reflection on your impact on recruiting here in the state. The excitement about NAU and kids wanting to look at NAU, Grand Canyon had to figure out a way to counter that. And so bringing in a guy like Dan Marley, I think, was their attempt to answer that. And you know, if you want to share some thoughts about that when we come back from break, you can. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Coach, I want to get your opinions on what's happening here with the March Madness. This has been a crazy tournament.
That sounds perfect, Scott. Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that.
Okay, so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Coach Jack Murphy from NAU, but we're going to talk about NCAA March Madness. So we're going to see how your brackets stack up, because right now mine's like torn up, thrown away. It's history. I've lost everything. All right, this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovell. We'll be right back after these messages.
We got game, they got game, he got game. It might feel good, it might sound a little something. I found the game if it ain't saying nothing. Yeah, that's right, everybody got game. But we just here to let y'all know that P.E. is in full effect from right now until the year 2000. Hey, yo, my man, sing it.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time on the Voice America Sports Network. Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, and right now we're joined by Jack Murphy, head coach at NAU, the Lumberjacks. And, you know, we're going to be talking March Madness, the tournament bracket. And I tell you, how can you talk about March Madness and what's happening right now in the tournament without talking about the tournament darling, Florida Gulf Coast University? Now, many of you before last weekend were thinking, well, who is Florida Gulf Coast University and what's their mascot? And where are they at in Florida, you know? And now here they are in the Sweet 16, the first team that was seeded 15th that made it to the Sweet 16. And I'll tell you what, Coach, let's talk about this Florida Gulf Coast team. They're no joke.
Oh, there's no question, Coach. They get after it. They don't hold the ball, slow down. It's not like they're trying to run clock and play a low possession game. They're not afraid to run it right back up at you. And not only have they won two games, they've won two games by double digits, I believe. I mean, they've put it on Georgetown, especially in the second half, and did the same thing to San Diego State. I mean, those are two of the better teams, you know, on the season. San Diego State has been a top 20 team this year. Georgetown has been a top 10 team, and Florida Gulf Coast was not afraid at all.
They beat Miami earlier this year, I guess.
Yep.
You know, and you look at this team, and it's so funny because the night before the game, I got to give some love to my man Gil Tyree, who is a CBS sports anchor in Atlanta. He posted on Facebook or tweeted out, I can't remember which one it was, but I think it was on Facebook. He posted on there, you know, tomorrow night's matchup, Florida Gulf Coast versus Georgetown, is not a sleeper. I would not sleep on Florida Gulf Coast. I've seen these guys play. They're legitimate, blah, 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 and they play Georgetown. It could be an upset in the making. And I think I responded to him. And if I didn't respond to him, I know I thought, come on, man, a 15 over a 2, that'd be a huge upset. Not going to happen. And bam, the next day, you got Georgetown getting it handed to him. And it was just ridiculous. I mean, 99% of the people who picked Georgetown to win that game with a 25-6 record and Florida Gulf Coast with a 24-10 record. And ended up losing the game. It was just crazy. And the momentum continued into the next tournament game against San Diego State. I thought for sure that San Diego State would handle business, and we saw how that game turned out. And I tell you what, that team is hot. Now it's going to be interesting to see how they match up against Florida. What is that? Is that Thursday night, I think it is?
No, I believe that's Friday night.
Is that Friday night game? Yeah, that's going to be an interesting game to watch. I think that Florida better not sleep on Florida Gulf Coast.
No question. You're exactly right. I mean, there's Florida gets up and presses, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on those Florida Gulf Coast guards. But the last two games I've seen, whenever a team pressed Florida Gulf Coast, they were ended up with alley-oops at the other end.
And so that's what I was just going to say.
you got to worry about their Florida Gulf Coast guards. I mean, they're pretty skilled.
Yeah. I mean, you can't press them because if you press them, you feed into the tempo of the game they want to play.
Yep.
But you don't want to sit back because I don't know what, man. It's going to be great watching this team. And wouldn't it be awesome to watch a team like that make it to the Final Four? But it's going to be tough because they got to get past Florida. And in my bracket, I've got them matched up against Kansas because Kansas has got Michigan coming up, and I think Kansas is going to handle Michigan based on the way they looked. I mean, that South bracket is not as messed up as the West. We'll talk about the West in a second, but that South bracket with the VCU being out of it, Michigan moving on, Kansas-Michigan matchup, that's going to be a great game, Coach.
It really is, and when I was at Memphis last year, we played Michigan in Maui, And Trey Burke is an outstanding guard, and you can't say enough about Tim Hardaway Jr. And Glenn Robinson III. I mean, they have a lot of great players, and if Mitch McGarry plays like he did the other day against VCU, I mean, Michigan could be a Final Four pick. I mean, they're playing really well, and you can't forget, Coach, that they were the number one team in the country for a couple weeks this year. I mean, I know they're seeded as a four seed in this tournament, but going into the year, they were one of the early picks for Final Four.
That's right. And Kansas looked dominant against North Carolina the other day, which was kind of a shocker the way they ended up winning that game.
No, it was. You know, North Carolina is playing smaller, and they put a lot of pressure on themselves where they have to hit threes to compete. And early on, they did a good job with tempo and getting open shots and competing with Kansas. But Jeff Withey, he's become a man among boys, especially defensively in the paint. He takes the paint away, makes it really difficult for teams to score in the paint on them. And if you can't score in the paint, especially in the NCAA tournament, you're going to have a tough time winning. So Kansas is winning games because of their defense. Michigan has won games because of their offense. It should be a very good battle.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. Now, Indiana and Syracuse this week, that's the only Sweet 16 matchup that I have left in my bracket. Everything else was onesies or goose eggs. But Indiana-Syracuse, that's going to be a good battle. I think what Tom Crean has done with that Indiana team this year, they've been number one and fallen from the number one spot. And yet, I think right now they're playing some very good basketball. And Syracuse is on the rise as well. Coach, what do you think about that matchup?
Well, I think Syracuse has played really well the last couple of weeks. You know, after they had a little bit of a lull there in Big East play, they obviously made the championship game of the Big East championship, ended up getting beat by Louisville. But they've played really well. They struggled a little bit more than I thought they would against Cal Berkeley. But Indiana just has too many horses. They can shoot it from the perimeter with Christian Wadford and Holes. And I just think that Zeller is going to be tough in the middle. I see Indiana really taking care of business against Syracuse, but it should be a good traditional matchup there in the Sweet 16, obviously the 1-4 seed.
Zeller actually looked a little uncoordinated and awkward the other night against Temple, but, I mean, you know, he still played well, had a good night, but he just surprised me with how unathletic is what I was thinking, but he just didn't have a graceful evening.
No, he struggled a little bit in that game. But you know going in what Syracuse is going to do. You know, Temple could switch it up. Obviously, Khalif Wyatt is one of the extremely most talented one-on-one players in the tournament, and he had another great game for Temple the other day. But against Syracuse, you know what they're going to do. They're going to be in the zone. You can have Zeller work block to block, even a little high post action. And Wadford can step out and knock down perimeter jumpers.
Yes, he can.
I mean, Indiana's just going to be tough to beat.
Yeah. Miami-Marquette, that's going to be a good matchup. Miami, though, Coach Larriaga, has got those guys playing great basketball. What's in the water down in Florida right now?
You have to say the key to that team, Shane Larkin. I mean, once again, at Memphis, we played Miami the last 2 years. We beat them both years, once in Memphis and once down in Miami. And last year when we played them in Miami, Shane Larkin was a freshman, but he's gotten so much better, it's ridiculous. And some of the plays he made at the end of the Illinois game the other night were absolutely insane. The step-back three right in front of the bench was amazing. He sees the floor so well. Marquette tries to rough you up and get you to play a physical brand of basketball. I think that they're, especially depending on how the officials are calling the game, they're gonna have a tough time defending all over the court and the spacing that Miami gives you. And it could be Trey McKinney-Jones, it could be Duran Scott, Ryan Brown. One of those guys is going to start hitting, is going to hit shots. Like the other day, it was Ryan Brown against Illinois in that ACC tournament. It was Trey McKinney-Jones. You just don't know. You can't pick your poison because they can all shoot it so well.
Yeah, and if we go to the Midwest bracket, we've got Louisville versus Oregon. What a shock to see Oregon in the Sweet 16. But, you know, they had a good end of the season. Once they got their guard back from injury, Coach, what's the kid's name? The
Dominic Artis.
Yeah, Artis. Once Artis got back from his injury, they really found themselves in a groove, won the Pac-12 tournament, ended up beating Oklahoma State and then St. Louis, and now they take on Louisville. That is going to be an interesting game because the Louisville guards can play very, very well on the defensive end of the court, and Artis has got to have some help.
Yeah, the good thing that Oregon can employ, you know, is they can play Artis and Jonathan Lloyd together, the smaller, quicker guard, and they've had some success with that recently. And when Oregon has Kazemi, Arsalan Kazemi, the transfer from Rice, going on the glass, I mean, they're tough to keep off the offensive board. So it will be an interesting matchup. I think that's more of a 1-4, 1-5 matchup than a 12 seed. I mean, Oregon, Pac-12 tournament champs, you know, they were one of the better teams in the country this year. And I don't know how they got a 12 seed, but they're playing above it right now.
Yeah, and then we go down to the bottom of that bracket, and you've got Michigan State and Duke. And on my bracket, I had Memphis and Duke. So I was not happy about the outcome there. But now you got a Michigan State team and a Duke matchup. Coach K, he always gets his guys playing well towards the end of the season. And here we are again, Sweet 16. Seems like it's not an NCAA tournament without him being in the discussion. What do you think about this matchup, Coach?
I mean, two of the best coaches our game's ever seen in Izzo and Coach K. And Adrian Payne for Michigan State is going to have to play like he did the other day against Memphis for Michigan State to have a chance. I think he's a good matchup with Ryan Kelly, and they have to continue to pound the ball inside of Derek Nix. So Michigan State is going to play rough and tumble, and I think that could take Duke out of their game a little bit. I mean, Michigan State does such a good job defensively. Seth Curry and those guys are going to have a little bit tougher time getting open shots.
And then we go down to the bottom, the West bracket, which is all busted up. And I tell you what, after watching the Gonzaga-Southern game, I knew that Gonzaga was going to be the first of the number one seeds to fall. And sure enough, the next game, Wichita State took it to them. And so you have Wichita State now facing LaSalle, who I was shocked to see come out of there, to be honest with you. But let's talk about that matchup, Coach. LaSalle is on a roll. They've put together two great games, and could they be the tournament darling?
I mean, right there, it's amazing one of those two teams is going to be in the Elite Eight, but you can totally see why they play so hard, both teams. Greg Marshall at Wichita State's done a great job getting some junior college kids in there to have a chip on their shoulder. They play hard, and they play tough. And then those LaSalle kids, I mean, they have that Philly East Coast toughness. I mean, they are a tough bunch. So it's going to be a very competitive game. I think that one's going to come down to the wire. I mean, that's a really good Sweet 16 matchup from a 9 and a 13 seed.
Yeah, and then you've got down below that, you've got one of your former schools, Arizona, against Ohio State, the Ohio State Buckeyes, as they like to be called. Now, Coach, that matchup, I'm just going to say this. Arizona, I'm shocked that Arizona has had the path that they've had to get there. I mean, look, they faced off against Belmont. Then you thought they were going to get New Mexico, but they didn't get New Mexico. They got Harvard. I mean, talk about a sweet ride to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, the Wildcats had a little bit of luck of the Irish there with the draw. But you know what? They also went out there and took care of business. I mean, Harvard is a good team. New Mexico is a very, very good team, and Harvard beat them. So you have to give Arizona credit for beating the teams that are in front of them. That Ohio State matchup is going to be interesting. Obviously, there's the connections between Thad Matta and Sean Miller. They know each other very well. Coach Miller worked for Coach Matta at Xavier. So there's going to be some similarities both philosophically and offensively and defensively. But I just think that Ohio State could struggle with Arizona's bigs. I mean, Tarzewski's playing better. Grant Jarrett, if he's able to play, he's playing well. Brandon Ashley's playing well. And then Solomon Hill, when you have a senior playing at the level Solomon Hill is, I mean, yeah, you can go a very long way, especially in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Now, Coach, tell me this. I mean, because I know that you don't have a bracket, NCAA regulations and everything, so you don't have a bracket. But as you look at this tournament and you're looking at the teams that are playing and the rhythm that these teams are playing in right now, who do you say, wow, watch out, I don't want to play these guys?
I think first and foremost would probably be Louisville. Just with how they finished off the Big East tournament, and nobody's really even been able to test them lately. And I thought they were the best team coming into the season. And Gordie Dang got hurt, and they dealt with a little up and down. But I mean, those guys are focused and locked in right now. I would not want to play Louisville if I was any other team in the tournament. And then on the other side, Michigan or Indiana. I mean, I really think Michigan's locked in. And anytime you have great guard play, and Trey Burke is the best point guard in the country, you have a chance to win. I mean, Trey Burke is that good.
You know, you hear this all the time, It takes good guard play to win the NCAA tournament, to win in the tournament. And when we come back from this break, Coach, I want you to address guard play and why it takes great guard play to win in the NCAA tournament. Because you know what? As you look at this, Florida Gulf Coast, they put four guards on the court. And is that one of the reasons why they're beating people like they're beating people? I don't know. Let's get your opinions when we come back from the break. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely. Right now we're joined by NAU head coach Jack Murphy. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more on the NCAA tournament.
Who got game? Where's the game? And like, behind the game, behind the game. I got game. She got game. We got game. They got game. He got game. It might feel good. It might sound a little something profound.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Play ball! If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the offseason, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, talking baseball with Jim Leyritz, is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Scott Lovely. And right now, we're joined by NAU head coach Jack Murphy. And we're talking about the NCAA tournament. And you hear it all the time. You hear it takes good guard play to win in the NCAA tournament. And I want to ask Coach, why is it that it takes great guard play to win a national championship?
Well, yeah, I think the pace is so important, especially when it comes to tournament time in March. And the people that control pace in the game are the guards. I mean, whether you want to push the pace, whether you want to slow it down, if you want to run clock, you're going to need your guards to take care of the basketball without turning it over. Turnover differential becomes so important in the tournament as it is all throughout the year, but it's even magnified even more in March. So you need great guards, and a lot of the best teams have multiple ball handlers. You talk about a Louisville or Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, as crazy as it is to compare the two, but you have multiple ball handlers. I mean, the Thompson kid for Florida Gulf Coast, or Brett Comer, their point guard. For Louisville, you have Russ Smith, who can handle the ball, kind of as a combo, and Peyton Siva. And that's something, even as a coach here at NAU, that I was fortunate to have this year with Stalin Saldivar, our senior guard, and Dwayne Russell, our freshman guard. You know, when those two are on the court together, you could run a lot more actions because you could get one or the other on the move, hit them, and then run right into pick and roll or run right into secondary action, and you had trust and faith that they knew what to do with the basketball. So guard play just becomes vital. And then also the ultimate equalizer in the game of basketball is a three-point shot. And a lot of times it's the guards taking those threes or the wings. And if it is a big man, you need guards to get the ball to the big man, whether it's on the block or out beyond the arc in the proper area. So those guards just become so important for you.
Now, Coach, I was here. I heard I can't remember who I was listening to, but I heard somebody talking about the fact that the pace of the game has slowed down during March Madness as a result of coaches wanting to take care of the possessions and be a little bit more aware of their offensive efficiency. Have you noticed that in a lot of these games? Because some people are complaining about the style of play right now.
Well, I'm not sure it's just in the NCAA tournament. I think it happens once you hit conference season and all the way through. I mean, coaches – in today's day and age, and you saw it today, Tubby Smith gets let go, Ben Howland gets let go. They want to have control of their destiny. And I've never seen – John Wooden couldn't do this, so I don't think anybody can. I've never seen a coach walk out and start hitting jumpers for his team. So until that happens, you're only going to have so much control. And so the coaches want to take as much as they can get, and they're trying to control each half-court set or defensive set or timeout here or timeout there. And a lot of times the teams that advance are the ones that are just playing loose and free and under control, but you know, getting multiple penetrations and with an ability to make plays. And you're seeing that with Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, they're getting off the bounce and they're making plays.
I was going to ask you.
They get off the bounce and they make plays. A lot of it's just breakdown offense.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you think that's why Florida Gulf Coast is having so much success.
I could definitely see that being a factor. There's no question. I mean, even as a first year head coach this year, I caught myself a couple times trying to scream or control things from the sideline more than I probably should have. And you know, there was other times where I didn't take timeouts where I probably wish I had, or I took timeouts and I wish I hadn't. So you try and have a feel for the game, and especially when it's magnified with the NCAA tournament, the entire country's watching. The pressure becomes so immense. I think that you react by trying to slow it down, and so you can process every movement. And that's not how basketball is supposed to be played. It's a quick game. It's a quick game made for athletes, made for highly skilled and developed players. And I think that the teams that are succeeding and moving on are those type of teams.
Now, I'm glad you brought up the Tubby Smith, Ben Howland situation, Coach, because I'm going to ask you. You know, as I look at what's happening here, it seems like college athletics is changing its focus. It used to be, you know, the success of a program was based on how well they did throughout the season, you know, kids doing well academically, graduation, and those seem to be the things that they hold up, and I say they, but I mean the NCAA and institutions hold up and say, this is how we measure our program. But then you look at programs like a Minnesota or like a UCLA that has the success during the season, and then they get into March Madness, that second season of the year, and they don't have the success, and then all of a sudden the coach is gone. Is it really a double standard? Does the first part of the season really not matter? Is it just about the playoffs? I mean, what is this phenomenon we're seeing?
No, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, it depends on the level, obviously, but if you're talking about the mid-major level, I think that the Gonzagas of the world, the Butlers of the world, they've made it to more difficult on coaches. I mean, I think a lot of schools look across their campus and say, hey, we could be a Butler, we could be a Gonzaga. And in reality, you know, those programs were built up over a number of years. But when you're at the level of a UCLA or a Minnesota and you're competing against Indiana, Illinois, and those type of teams day in, day out, or a Arizona or a USC, you're going to be held to a high standard.
Yeah, and I mean, so was it fair of these coaches to be let go? I mean, you know, you look at what Ben Howland's done, and a lot of people here know that I'm a big UCLA guy, and I'm critical of some of the recruiting decisions he's made, because as you look at that team, it's not the same type of team that we've seen or had in the history of UCLA as far as the type of players and character and things that were going on within the program. But then you look at Minnesota. Minnesota hasn't really had a presence in basketball until Tubby Smith took over and pulled them out of their funk that they were in with the whole cheating scandal and everything else. So why would a guy like Tubby Smith be let go?
No, well, look, the bottom line is, as a coach, I'm always going to side with the coach. I think that in our day of age of instant gratification, you're always quick to pull the plug sooner than probably should be. But I will also say this. It's probably not fair as a coach to be making, $4 or $5 million, $3 million. And I'm not saying that's what Tubby or Ben Howland were making. They weren't making that much money. But coaches are making millions of dollars nowadays. And people want to complain about why they make so much money, but then also they're the ones on campus that are going to get let go after a successful season. I mean, that's the reason salaries have escalated so much, because the pressure is increased, and if you don't do well or you're not successful, you're not going to have much time. And so I think that it's a double-edged sword. That's why in my life I'm very happy, and I love being at NAU, and I'm thankful I work for an unbelievable AD and a wonderful president, and they're excited to build something special here. But the pressure that comes with a UCLA, a Minnesota, a Texas, I mean, that's a whole nother level there. I mean, it's like an NBA job.
Yeah, to me, I think it's kind of crazy. But we'll get into that here a little bit more in the next segment. And, Coach, I want to thank you for joining us. Is there anything out there you want NAU fans to know about the program? Any final thoughts that you have?
Coach, I just really appreciate you having me on here. And I've said it many times before. You don't have to be just an ASU fan, just a U of A fan. You can support your Sun Devils, your Wildcats, and still support the Lumberjacks. I mean, we're the only school in the state that's in the Big Sky Conference. I think we have a lot of positive momentum off this season. We're going to continue to build on it, and the future is very bright up here in Flagstaff.
Well, Coach, I agree. I agree 100%, and thank you for joining us. And, I appreciate you being accessible to me as much as you have been, and we'll touch base real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Scott.
All right. Talk to you soon, Coach.
Bye.
That was Coach Jack Murphy from NAU, and you know, as he leaves, I want to make sure I point out that, you know, Coach Murphy, even though the record wasn't what you thought it might, or it wasn't taking off, his building a foundation there is key, and this year you saw the foundation put in, and I think there's going to be a big upswing up in Flagstaff over the next several years. Coach Murphy and, like I said earlier, Dr. Lisa Campos, the AD there, just have done a great job. And if you haven't had a chance to get out there, support football and support all the other sports, because a lot of stuff's happening up at NAU, up at Flagstaff. It's been fun to witness it. I've got a kid playing on the football team that I coached over at Highland High School, Drew Emanuel. Love the kid to death. He had a great football season, was recognized at the end of the year as one of the top juniors, and academic recognition and the whole bit. And there's just a lot of positive happening up there at NAU. So if you, and I didn't get a chance to get up and watch as many games as I wanted to this year because our games coincided with their schedule, so it was kind of tough for me. But when I did have a chance, I was up there watching. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to share with you my thoughts about Ben Howland, UCLA, Tubby Smith, and Minnesota. You want to stay tuned. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. We'll be right back.
Damn the game, if it don't mean nothing, what is game? Who got game? Where's the game? And like, behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steele, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steele Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Scott Lovely. Right now I'm going to address the recent firings of two coaches, Tubby Smith at Minnesota and Coach Ben Hallen at UCLA. And as I look at these two jobs, and I used to live in Los Angeles, have been around the UCLA program quite a bit. When Coach Herrick ran the program, was around the program quite a bit. And I'm a lifelong Bruin fan. And as I look at the state of UCLA right now, I know there's people who are outside the program that are beating the program up and saying, you know, who do you think you are? You shouldn't be treating people that way, blah, blah, blah. But let me just kind of point out something to you, because if you haven't been around the program, you don't understand, because UCLA has a different air about it. And I've been around a lot of college basketball programs, and I'm just going to say UCLA's program is there's a regal type status about it. People say that's arrogance. It's not. It's just an expectation of excellence. It's an expectation of championships. It's an expectation of winning. It's an expectation of success. And they don't measure success the same way that everybody else measures success. Now, is that a bad thing? No, I don't think it's a bad thing. But here's what I've noticed in the past several years. And actually, I'm going to put it out there that I've noticed this since the passing of Coach Wooden. There doesn't seem to be a moral figurehead in UCLA anymore. UCLA has operated on Coach Wooden's philosophy of success, the pyramid of success, for years. And when Coach Wooden was present, there was an aura around the program that you just respected the program and you respected the man. You know, Coach Wooden had a seat in the gym that he always sat in, and everybody knew where Coach was sitting. And players always recognized Coach, and all the coaches that coached there went to Coach Wooden and connected with Coach Wooden and had a relationship with Coach Wooden and were guided by Coach Wooden in certain ways, in his very own gentle way of leading. Now, as you look at his pyramid of success and his 12 lessons in leadership, the program emanated those qualities. And I'm noticing since his passing, UCLA has lost its way. Yes, they tout the pyramid of success. Yes, they tout Coach Wooden's leadership. But they do not live the principles that Coach Wooden instituted into that institution. And if you look at his 12 lessons of leadership, the first one is good values attract good people. Number two, love is the most powerful four-letter word. Three, call yourself a teacher. Four, emotion is your enemy. Five, it takes 10 hands to make a basket. Six, little things make big things happen. Seven, make each day your masterpiece. Eight, the carrot is mightier than a stick. Nine, make greatness attainable by all. 10. Seek significant change. 11. Don't look at the scoreboard. And 12. Adversity is your asset. Now, as you look at those things, as you hear those things, and if you don't know these things, if you have never seen these things, you need to go to, I think it's CoachJohnWooden.com. You can find, there's a great website out there about Coach Wooden on leadership, and it's a website that has all of his detailed information out there. And as a coach, as a young coach, if you're a young coach and you haven't studied this stuff, study it. Because he was an amazing, amazing man. And the moral compass that he had put in place at UCLA was second to none. And that is why UCLA has the air about it that it has. And I know people are saying, oh, those days are gone. You can't win like he did. And you know what? You're right, but he didn't gauge his success every year on winning. He gauged his success on getting the most out of his players. And I honestly am disappointed in one of his players. Bill Walton, I believe, started the downfall of Bill Walton started the downfall of Bill, Ben Howland, because his open verbal critiques on air during UCLA games, the way he berated the coach and the style of play and the basketball and everything else, he was negative about the program, and that just gained momentum as the year went on. And that's wrong. And I know that if Coach Wooden was alive, Coach would have shut that down earlier in the season. But I'm upset about the fact that Coach Highland was let go, but at the same time, I understand why he was let go. I mean, if you look at over the last several years, some of the bad recruiting decisions, I'm not even going to say the kid's name, the one who left the program, I think it was last year, was verbally abusive to some of the players on the team, was bullying, and he didn't belong in a UCLA uniform. There are just certain people who do not belong in a UCLA uniform. There's a standard that UCLA players have that needs to be maintained, and I didn't believe he ever he belonged there. So those are some of the things that led to the release of Coach Howland. Now, how can UCLA get back on track? I'll tell you right now how UCLA can get back on track and how UCLA becomes a prominent program again. There was another coach who was let go today, who, if you ask anyone out there about this coach, he tells you that he is a gentleman. He is a gentleman of the game. He is a great class act. He is an amazing man and a very good coach. He's won a national title at Kentucky. He's been successful at Minnesota, where he was at, Coach Tubby Smith. Coach Tubby Smith is the standard at which coaches can be held to, because he's a great guy. He is an amazing, amazing man. Humble. I think he fills all those qualities that Coach Wooden talked about in his Pyramid of Success and in his 12 Lessons of Leadership. And if UCLA wants to return to the same type of program that Coach Wooden had and Coach Wooden led, and also as his moral compass, as he was the moral compass of the program, if UCLA wants to return to a great program, nationally recognized, NCAA Final Fours, championship level with the new facilities and everything, you need to get on the phone and you need to get in touch with Tubby Smith. You need to find out what it's going to take to get him there. Because I guarantee you, if you put him in the stands at UCLA, success will become a commonplace again for the Bruins. He was terminated wrongly, at Minnesota. You know what? Hey, people can talk about it all they want, but nobody's going to the weather up there. Minnesota, when was the last time Minnesota was a relevant basketball program? And lately they have been. And you could talk about the team starting off strong and finishing weak. You could talk about all these other things, but bottom line, you're talking about Minnesota basketball. It is not one of the premier programs in the nation. He went from Kentucky to Minnesota and took that program and bounced it back. You guys should have asked him if he would like a buyout and tried to negotiate a way for him to get to UCLA. That's what should have taken place. But they didn't do it. But here's some of the things that people are saying right now. People are saying that the reason this happened is because the current athletic director at Minnesota is trying to get a former coach he hired at another school, VCU. The name keeps coming up, Shaka Smart. He's a hot commodity right now. You know, who knows? But I tell you what, you want UCLA to become relevant again? Call Tubby Smith. That will do it right there. I'm off of that rant. But if I was you, I would get to John Wooden. I think it's coachjohnwooden.com. Check out. Yes, I think it is. It's coachjohnwooden.com. And if you go to coachjohnwooden.com, it's an amazing website. You've got great information there. You've got a whole bunch of tools and the whole bit that you can pull from. And it's just great. If you're a young coach, get it. Get there. Get into it. Read his books. There's videotapes and everything. Coach Wood, you can't say enough about him. Tubby Smith should be next. He should be the one in charge of the UCLA program and take it to the next level, bring it back to its origin of having a gentleman coach. That's my feeling on that. All right, so now I'm being told we got to close out. Man, the show went by fast. I want to thank Jack Murphy for joining us. Next Monday we'll talk about who's left in the Elite Eight or the Final Four. No, we're talking about the Final Four next week with Jack Murphy here on VoiceAmericaSports.com. Check it out. Leave it better than you found it. And I want to thank you for listening. We're out of here. Peace.
The game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.